darkly reflecting the tiny racing vehicle.
Blow us a hole!
Ryan headed straight for the tinted glass doors. The 7.62mm blaster ripped into life, spraying the facade of the insurance building. Cracks appeared in the revolving doors, nothing more. But the large ground floor windows shattered into a million pieces. Shifting gears, Ryan plowed through the jagged opening and into the building. Cresting the sill, the WAG landed on top of a mahogany desk, smashing it under their tonnage. Fighting for control, Ryan rammed into a room divider, and for a brief instant, he saw a skeleton in pinstripe rags holding a cup slumped before a dark computer screen. Then, everything went flying as the Hummer plowed across the office, leaving a trail of total destruction. A headlight winked out as Ryan headed straight for a short hallway. The fit was so tight that sparks sprayed out from the armored chassis scraping along the marble facade. Then, the WAG smashed aside a set of double doors and reached the cafeteria. Tables squealed as they were forcibly shoved out of the way, plates, newspapers, and chairs flying everywhere. The M60 blaster spoke again, clearing away the windows, sand pouring into the room. But the angle was too steep, and the Hummer couldn't gain enough purchase in the shifting sands.
Fire blast! We need a shim!
Ryan braked to a halt amid the destruction.
JB! Dean! Get that soda machine!
The two jumped from the Hummer and raced to the huge soda dispenser. Rocking it back and forth, they got it moving and started slowly waddling it toward the pile of sand pouring in through the broken window.
Incoming!
Jack fired the M60 into the hallway. A greenie was torn apart and dropped to the carpeting. Christy pulled the pin on a grin and threw it hard at the marble wall. The sphere hit and rebounded out of sight. A few moments later, a thunderous explosion shook the room. Smoke poured down the hallway. Jack wasted rounds shooting into the smoke just in case. Muties crawled into view, blood gushing from the hideous stumps of missing limbs. They still tried to reach the WAG, even as they died.
This is not a fight, but a jihad. A holy war of revenge. They will never stop until we're dead.
A greenie dropped from the ceiling panels, landing amid the companions. Christy blew off its head, and Dean slit its throat as it fell from the WAG. Suddenly there was a crash as the soda machine toppled over in place.
Get in!
But the others were already aboard. Gunning the engines, Ryan headed for the machine, knowing it could never support the awesome weight of the Hummer for more than a few seconds. But those moments should be everything he needed. The hood of the War WAG lifted as the wheels rolled on top of the soda machine, metal starting to crunch. Ryan hit the gas and shifted gears. The WAG started to lose some height. Greenies ran screaming into the room, and Dean threw a grin. The Lama boomed. A dart hit the inside of the windshield. Then, with a lurch, the studded tires caught on the sill, and the Hummer climbed up and out the window, rolling into the night. As they sped away from the ruins, Dean saw the interior of the insurance building come alive with flames, black silhouettes of immunities dashing about, screaming in pain and rage. Mildred slumped in her seat.
Oh, goodbye, Georgia. We have 3 days to rest before reaching Shiloh.
Ryan loosened his grip on the steering wheel.
Plenty of time. The only point on our side is that we're not racing against the clock.
Thank Gaia for that.
The awful stench was the first thing that Clem noticed. He sniffed again and tried to figure out what it was. Wood smoke, definitely, mixed with the tang of a blacksmith shop and other things he couldn't recognize. The young corporal riding point alongside him squinted.
Muties?
Don't think so, but I don't like it. Blasters out, and watch yourselves.
The squad of brown shirts needed no further prompting and drew their long blasters. In an effort to impress Baron Markham of Bull Runville with the seriousness of the matter, Nathan Cotter had given the ambassadors the best AK-47s they had and plenty of ammo. Where words might fail, anybody too stupid to listen to troopers armed with rapid fires and talking peace was just too damn dumb to let live. Cantering over one of the many low hillocks so prominent in northern Virginia, the men stopped in their tracks, the horses whinnying in fear. Lying before them was desolation like nothing they had ever seen. Stretching for perhaps a full mile were the ruins of the ville, cottages and huts crumbling even as they watched. The castle itself was mostly gone, a glowing pool of lava, exactly where the Predark fort should be standing. Only a few of the outer buildings still existed. Bricks fell from the side of buildings and hit the ground, bursting into their component ash, the powdery cement blowing away as dry dust. Only the windows seemed to be undamaged, the glass remarkably clear and sparkling clean as if brand new. There was a depression in the ground, with the remains of fish at the bottom, as if it were once a pond. Even the soil itself was blackened, as if charred by a terrible fire. Yet countless trees still stood, the bark peeling off the gray trunks, brittle leaves carpeting the ville, even though it was only early autumn. A field of brown crops stretched to the north, every breeze snapping the stalks and clearing whole areas. The smoking corpses of people lay everywhere, their clothing flaking into ash, their crispy skin split apart to expose cooked flesh and black bones. Exploded blasters lay near the hands, the stocks twisted and partially slagged. Sprinkled across the horrible landscape were stingwings and birds alike, wings outstretched as if still in flight. Skinny rats scampered among the assorted destruction, searching for food, but none was touching the many corpses so readily evident. Clem pushed back his bearskin hat. He might have to wear the uncomfortable uniform of Front Royal while in the ville, but on the road the mountain man quickly returned to his more familiar garb.
What the hell happened here?
Not much left.
Nothing left.
At those loud words, the artesian well in the middle of the ville broke apart, the wooden beams bursting into ash and the stones plummeting out of sight into the ground. Minutes passed, but there was no sound of a splash from the block striking water. Frowning, Clem withdrew a plug of tobacco and bit off a chaw. He had seen 100 different kinds of chilling, but nothing resembling this. The hooves of his stallion were already thick with the dust of the land. A sergeant checked the bulky rad counter they had found hidden in Overton's room at Carter Castle. He worked a few dials and tapped the meter. The needle swung about, but didn't enter the red area.
Reading clean. No rads.
Clem chewed thoughtfully.
Didn't think it was a nuke. That sure as shit was an acid rain.
A soft breeze from the mountains moved over the annihilated fields, the plants crumbling into dust and blowing away. Then a section of the castle broke apart, the bricks and mortar separating as the masonry tumbled to the ground.
Well, lightning didn't do it either. I seen lightning hit, and it don't do this.
Sliding off his horse, a lieutenant knelt on the road and reached out to take a handful of the black soil. He carefully inspected it before daring to take a sniff.
Well, no smell of fuel or black powder.
He stood, tossing the piece of dead earth away.
Hell, ain't no chem burn I know. Not napalm, thermite, or even Willy Peter.
Shifting in his saddle, Clem translated the term in his head. Willy Peter was slang for white phosphorus. JB had told him about the Predark chem. It burned 10 times hotter than a Molotov cocktail, but was controllable, unlike thermite. Once you ignited that stuff, all a man could do was run away fast or fry like a chicken on a spit. Thunder rumbled, and the man glanced upward to see fiery streaks of orange slashing across the purplish sky, a billowing array of dark storm clouds ravaged by the endless hurricanes of the upper atmosphere. Nothing unusual there. Glancing down, he noticed the line in the soil where the strange effect stopped, and the green grass started once more. The boundary was sharp, as if a line had been drawn with a sharp knife and a string. What weapon could do that?
Dead. All dead.
Now whatever it was, happened fast, too.
Off to the side lay the still body of a horse, half of the mare within the circle of destruction, the rest on cool green grass. The lieutenant went into the woods and returned with a long green stick. Placing the tip against the black soil, the Sekhman pressed downward, and it easily sank all the way down until his hand almost touched the surface. Withdrawing the stick, he examined the length of the sapling.
No resistance. Whatever did this penetrated mighty deep into the earth.
There's lava over there.
Impulsively, the sergeant reached for his blaster, then released the weapon. There was nothing here to shoot. Whatever battle had been fought was long over.
Maybe it was a volcano? I heard of them from my ma.